Father, we meet you, Lord, and we just ask God, that you Lord, to meet with us tonight, Lord, as we go through your word, as we study it, Lord God, that you would touch hearts, Lord, that you would encourage, Lord, that you would most likely convict hearts, Lord God, to bring those close to you, God. And I pray for those who are here tonight who are probably not saved, Lord. I pray that you work in them, Lord God, that you would touch their heart, that you would grab it, Lord God, that you would make it soft, Lord God, that you would break down those strongholds, Lord, that you would open their hearts, open their minds, Lord God, to knowing, Lord, that you are the one. You're the one that we do need, Lord God. We do thank you again for what you do in us, Lord, how you love us, how you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on that cross, to wipe away all of our sins. So, Lord, we do thank you. We give you tonight, Lord God. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I was told right before, during worship, to rush this because there's a Spurs game tonight. I might be wearing the wrong colors, but I'm also a pastor that's been worked on, as Pastor Ron would say. I'm the unsaved one because I'm still a Laker fan, but... But I still root for the Spurs, don't get me wrong, okay? There's no divided household here, so. Love you, baby. So tonight, we're going to get into our study. If you have your Bibles, if you can turn to Galatians chapter 5. This is a book that has been speaking to me, a letter that I've grown to love, and that that speaks volumes. Something that opened my eyes from before, well, when I got saved, opened my eyes like when I was in my walk with the Lord, only because of my past being not very religious, but in a denomination that was very religious. That was my heart. That was my mindset. That was my thoughts. And here in Galatians, where Paul writes this letter to these Galatians, it's freedom. It's freedom in the Lord, you know. And that's what's been speaking to me. And the section where we're going to be going through, it's a section that's been speaking to me only because I'm flesh. I'm man. I'm sinful. And this kind of gives me reminders of where I've been, and where we can go and grow as we're walking in the Lord, as we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So chapter 5, verse 13 is where we're going to start. We're going to go all the way through to verse 26. It says here, "For you, brethren, having been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." So here Paul, actually, you know what, just to reverse, I forgot to kind of say a little context here, where Paul has been going to his missionary journeys. He had three of them, and each missionary journey he did go to Galatia. It's a region where he went. It's like the modern day Turkey's where it's at. And as Paul was going through these missionary journeys, starting churches, religious leaders started coming in afterwards as Paul would leave to change the mindset of the people, that it's not just Jesus Christ. If you want to be a Christian, it's not just Jesus, it's also the law. So that's what we need to follow. And Paul kept coming around and tried to tell them, we don't need the law. You know, Christ died on the cross for us, that we don't need the law anymore. All we need is just Jesus. So here he's writing this letter to them to encourage them to don't think that way, to not have that mindset. Again, for me, it's the same thing as being man, being flesh. I have to constantly, we're going to go through all these things, the works of the flesh and then the fruit of the Spirit. And it helps me to bring me back in line. Because, you know, I'm a man, I struggle. And when I think about the Word of God, it kind of brings me back. So here, he's writing this letter to these Christians. He says, "For you, brethren, you've been called to liberty." And here in the mindset back then, in the days of Paul, the mindset was either you're a legalist, you follow the laws, okay? Or you have a license to sin, you don't follow the law, you can basically do what you want, okay, in the flesh. But Paul says there's a medium in there. We don't have to follow the law, but then we're free. You know, he calls it liberty, okay? It's free. It's freedom to not sin, to not be guilty of sin, not to have that penalty of sin, but free to do things that please God, okay? So the mindset here, you guys, like Paul wrote also in the book of Romans about that mindset. If grace abounds and God forgives me of my sin, then I can just sin more and then God will keep forgiving me, right? That's the mindset sometimes that people have. And Paul says, no, okay? The liberty is our liberty to follow God, to be obedient to him and to his word. And he says here that don't let it be an opportunity for you, for the flesh, okay? Because sometimes we can do that. We say we're free, I got saved, Jesus in me, and I can basically do what I want, you know, whether what sin it is, and we're going to go through some of them. But whatever it is, it's not like that, okay? Don't give the flesh the opportunity to do that, to fall into sin. But he says here, love one another, to serve one another. You know, when we have Jesus in our heart, we're free to follow his word. And basically, that's what I love about, was it last year's men's retreat when Gail Irwin was here? He also spoke about this other time he was here, but being about others. Others first, others centered. And if we're like that, we won't give our flesh the opportunity to sin. Okay? And if we love others, we will serve people. And he says here in verse 14 that the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. See, in our flesh, we do good things. In our flesh, we know how to take care of ourselves, right? We can get up in the morning time. We could brush our teeth. We can comb our hair if we have hair. We can get dressed and we can get ready for the day, and we take care of ourselves. Well, if you think about it, that's how we should care about other people. Is if I take care of myself, then I should take care of other people too. That's the mindset here that Paul wants these people to have. Not about self. See, when it's about self, it's what I do for God, what I do for Christ. What do I do? What do I do? I do this and I do this and I do this, and that's okay with me. And Paul wants to squash that and not give them the opportunity to even think about that. Because why? Because it says here in verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you consume by one another. That's what I love about this church. There might be individuals, but as far as a whole church-wise, we don't have this problem. There's no bickering, there's no arguing, there's no backbiting, there's no devouring of one another that we would, you know, cause a dissension, that we would cause a split in our church. All you see here is love. You know, you walk into this room, all you do is you just feel love. People that come in who are new, Sundays or even Wednesdays and Fridays, we say hi. You know, Mama Paula, she'll go out and she'll like look for you. You know, if you're new, she'll run you down and she'll just say hi and love on you. And that's our whole church. We're all like that. That's what I love about this church. But here, we have to remember that back then with these Galatians, that was their mindset, kinda. You know, their mindset was about self and about what I do and I'm more mature in the Lord or I'm more spiritual than so and so. And you know, that's when you have that bickering and biting, and we can't have that. Verse 16. Then I say, then walk in the Spirit, as you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says here, I say then, walk in the Spirit. This walk here in the Greek, back in the ancient Greek, this word walk is more of a, if you can picture a philosopher that would be walking up and down as he teaches, okay? That's basically this type of walk. If we walk in the Spirit, if we're in the Spirit, if we have the Holy Spirit, we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I'm all about God, if I'm all about Jesus, if I'm all about the Word of God, I'm not going to be in my flesh. That's why we wake up in the morning. That's why we pray, to have that sense of the Lord in us. That's when we go to sleep, we pray. You know, You know, it talks about in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. If we have that mindset throughout our day, it'll be difficult for the lust of the flesh to come in. But if we walk in the Spirit, we won't give an opportunity for the flesh to come and take over. You know, like it says in Romans 6, where he talks about the things that I don't want to do, I do, and the things that I should be practicing, I don't do. You know, well, where's your mindset? You know what I mean? It says here, verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are not contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. Well, what should I do? Because we're human. We're one. I mean, we're one. Okay, but we have two natures in us. We have our old nature and the new nature, and that's a struggle sometimes. You know, am I in the flesh, or am I in the Spirit? Here's the thing. I try to use this as much as I can, but if you have two dogs, a black one and a white one, color doesn't matter, a black one or a white one, and you resist the black one, and you feed the white one, and if they're going to fight, which one's going to win? You know what I mean? So as far as the flesh, we need to starve the flesh. We don't give it an opportunity, but we need to feed our spirit, that our spirit would be more built up than our flesh. Okay? And, you know, we don't want to give an opportunity for the flesh to come in. You know, as Christians, we need to be constantly in the Spirit. Okay? We need to be examples of those that have been walking in the Spirit. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, are you not, you are not under the law. Here, again, if you're in the Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit in you, you're following what God says, and you're being obedient to His word, you don't need the law. Okay, the law just kind of tells you what to do. The main purpose for the law was to show us that we're sinners, that we need Jesus, that we need Christ. And when we understand that, we don't have to follow that anymore. Okay? But if I'm in the Spirit, I don't need the law. I'm not under the law. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are. So here, these are sins that it's not exhaustive. There's more sins that Paul can mention, but he says right here, this is what I'm going to pick. This is what I'm going to choose. So this is the works of the flesh. This is what I would do as a unbeliever, or this is what I would do as someone who's not in the Spirit. So he's going to be mentioning certain things, okay? Because he could have been like, oh, you know what? Just don't sin. You know, you be in your flesh and just don't sin. But here, Paul, what he's doing, he's giving us a kind of like a list of this, what can happen if you're not in the Spirit, okay? This is the works of the flesh. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to read them all, and then I'm going to go and talk about them one at a time. So please bear with me. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So here, in this list here, it's broken up in four different types of sins. We have sensual sins, we have religious sins, we have social sins, and we have personal sins. So, adultery, what can I say about that? It's a violation of the marriage covenant by sexual immorality. And this word specifically is not mentioned in some manuscripts. Those of you guys who probably have the NIV, I don't think it's mentioned in the NIV. But even though it's not in the NIV, we have something that kind of takes over that. It's fornication, which we'll talk about afterwards. But this is a sexual act as a married couple or as a married person outside marriage, okay? So that's adultery. I don't know if I have to go more in detail about that. We're all adults here. When I teach the junior high kids, I have to kind of go a little bit more in detail, really in detail. I'm just kidding. No, I don't do that. That's when I get in trouble. They go tell their parents. We have fornication, though, the next one. fornication. It's a broad word referring to sexual impropriety in general. It should be thought of opposite of purity. If it isn't pure before God, then it is... Oh, I'm sorry. It's fornication, the Greek word porneia. I was reading the wrong thing. Sexual immorality in a broad sense. Porneia started out meaning a use of a prostitute, but in Paul's day, it was used for a wide variety of sexual sins. Fornication covers illicit connections between single or unmarried persons, voluntary sexual intercourse between two unmarried or two persons not married to each other, sex before and out of marriage. And with this right here, it's in our society nowadays, we kind of looked at, well, not us, I hope not, but our society looks at it as being, it's normal. You know, you watch TV, so-and-so sleeping with so-and-so, or so-and-so's husband sleeping with so-and-so's wife, and it's real normal. You know, it's like real flippant. But if we're following the word of God, it's sin, okay? If anybody here is in adultery, if anybody here is in fornication, sex outside marriage, well, afterwards we're going to come up and we're going to be praying. So if that's you, you can confess your sin and be forgiven, okay? Uncleanness. This is a broad word referring to sexual impropriety in general. It should be thought of the opposite of purity. If it is not pure before God, it is unclean. It covers sexual sins that are not actually intercourse or even interaction with another person, such as pornography, impure speech, suggestive speaking filled with double meaning. If you have a significant other and you haven't had intercourse, but you have been kind of going there so much, and you say that, you know, at least we didn't have sex. Well, if you think about it, that's unclean. That's impure, and that's considered uncleanness. Okay, so no matter the mindset is, you know, it's still unclean. Okay, that's still not pure before God's eyes. Lewdness. In some manuscripts, it's licentiousness. It's an idea of being ready to sin at any time. Some manuscripts might say debauchery. It's someone who flaunts their immorality. It's like no shame. It's like not being embarrassed of their sexual actions, I guess you can say. It's like someone who is very provocative with their dress and they don't care. You know, it's like, I don't care if, you know, guys look at me, if it's a girl, right? If guys look at me, I don't care about that. But, you know, I'm going to wear this because I look sexy, you know. I don't know. But that's the mindset where, why you got to be embarrassed? Okay. That's lewdness. That's licentiousness. It's when there's like no shame in the game, basically, you know. I was going through a study one time, and they said out of all the sins, this is like one of the worst ones, basically, because it's like sin that you don't even care. I don't care if I sin. You know, so what? You know? Now we're going to go into religious sins. Idolatry. This is worship of any god except God, the Lord God, revealed to us by the Bible and in the person of Jesus Christ. It's putting something ahead of God, serving God in their own opinion, in their own creation, true living God. On Wednesday, when I teach the junior high kids, we're going through Jeremiah and what they're doing in Jeremiah. The people, actually the nation of Judah, they're making their own gods. They're taking wood, they're taking trees, and they're carving things. They're adoring them with gold and silver. They're making their own gods, you know, and God didn't like that. So God judged them. You know, that's when we get the Babylonian captivity because of their mindset, because of their sin. So here, if it's anything that you put before God, that's idolatry. It could be your work, it could be hobbies, it could be your kids, it could be whatever you put before God, that's idolatry. Sorcery, which also I think some manuscripts say witchcraft. It's a service or worship of the occults and spiritual powers apart from the true God. We get our word, the Greek word pharmakia, where we get pharmacy. It's drugs. Back then, the mindset of sorcery and witchcraft, drugs would always be associated with the occult and taking of drugs when they would do these things. Hatred, it's enmity, attitude of the heart, inner motivation for ill treatment of others. So that's hatred. Next one is social sins, contentions, rivalry with outcome in quarreling. It's also known as strife. It's a combative or an argumentative spirit. Jealousies, a desire to have what someone else has, wrong desire for what is not yours. And you have outbursts of wrath, sudden flash of anger, to lose your temper, unable to control your anger. And here, selfish ambition. This word here, it has a history back then. The word was to work for pay. And then over time, the kind of work that is done for money, and it's for no reason. And the heart of this person that has a selfish, ambitious heart is to say, what's in it for me? I'm going to do something for someone, and, you know, what can I get out of this? And that's when you're only looking for self. Dissensions, it's standing apart, it's divisions. Heresies. Heresy here is a different type of heresy of what we know today. This word in the ancient Greek, it simply means to choose. Someone who is divisively expresses their choice or opinion. Again, we think of it as wrong teaching, wrong ideas. But the emphasis here is that the word is actually wrongful dividing over opinions. This is more like a hardened decision, dissension. Envy. Bitter, just because someone has, someone else has something we don't have, okay? I know that some of the kids that might be here or that might be listening, they might think that I kind of fall into some of these jealousies or envies. I have this thing about cars. I really like, actually, I like cars a lot. There's this one car in particular that I kind of asked them, right? Actually, I told them when they become CEOs of their own business, this is what they're going to buy me. But it's a Porsche. I love Porsche 911. So they're probably, oh, this is you. You don't have that, and you always ask us for it, or this is you. Well, yeah, that's why I confess every single day. Okay. Murders. It is what it is. It's when you take someone's life. This also, just like adultery, it's not in many manuscripts. But there's no debate that murder is a work of the flesh, okay? Personal sins, drunkenness, it's as dissipation. It means wastefulness. It's, you know, getting drunk's a waste. You know, we can talk for hours about, you know, having alcohol and being drunk consuming alcohol is sin. If you have a concern or a comment, you can always talk to one of the pastors, because this right here is something that I used to struggle with. And when I got saved, even though if it was just one beer or one something, to me that was sin, okay? But I didn't go out there and tell people, hey, in our Bible it just says, do not be drunk, okay? And it's not fall down drunk, okay? So what that means is if you drink and you don't fall down and you're drunk, it's still sin because you're drunk, okay? So don't get that twisted there. Rivalries, unrestrained partying. Okay, this is like, you know, that person who just parties and doesn't care. Okay, they're willing just to be wild and crazy, and that's just what it is, you know. So that's the work of the flesh. And you guys, I don't want you guys to start thinking these are practices in sin, in these sins. And then here, you remember when Paul says, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Again, it's not, I've done it, because we've all, 100% of us have done one of these things, okay? So we will inherit if you have the Spirit of God in you. The thing that's different is if it's a habit to do these things, okay? If you're habitually doing these things, if you're consistently sinning and doing these things, then you might not inherit. Well, it says you will not inherit the kingdom of God, okay? Again, it doesn't stop here. This is not the exhaustive list. There's things that are the like or like these sins that Paul talks about. Again, don't be afraid, you know, I've committed adultery, or I'm in fornication, or I drank last night and I fell down drunk, you know. And you know what? We all sin. You just confess, you know, go before God, confess our sins, and then we don't go back to those sins. You know, we talk about doing a 180, repenting, and that's what we should do is if we're in these sins. Are we going to fall? Yeah, we're going to fall. But again, if we feed our spirit and we flesh, that helps much more, you guys, when we're thinking that way. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. So here we have the fruit. First, we have the works of the flesh, which is more. Here, it's the work. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And this word fruit, you guys, in the Greek, it's more of a singular. I know that we use this in our English fruit, you know. Banana is a fruit, and you have a whole thing of bananas. It's plural, okay? Here it's singular. It's one, okay? So then here it says for the fruit of the Spirit. And here the thing that's different from the works of the flesh. What God wants from us is to have this fruit in us to produce, okay? Produce the fruit in us, and then that it would grow, okay? And that's the concept that Paul wants us to see here, that it's a fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. Okay, that's it. Paul could have stopped right here, and that's the fruit of the Spirit. Is love. Here in the Greek, it's a lot different than it is from the English language. We have love, you know, I love my church, I love my wife, I love double doubles, but they're all different types of love, okay? In the Greek, there's about four different types of love. We have one, the first love, which is agape, which is what we're talking about here, which is a divine love, which is a unconditional love. It's a sacrificial love. And then we have philo, or phileo, which is more of a brotherly love. And then we have eros, which is more of a sensual, sexual love. And then you have storge, which is more of a mom to a child type of love. Okay, so that's the loves that that they have. But here, this love right here, it's Jesus' love. You know, his agape love, where he gave his whole life for us as he spread his arms on that cross to die for our sins. That's love, okay? He's the only one that actually committed this type of act. He gave his life for us. He sacrificed everything for us. And that's the type of love that he wants us to have for other people. If we're in his spirit, because it's him, right? It's his spirit. If we have him in us, if we keep feeding our spirit, then we'll be more like him, okay? And if we're not, and if we're in our flesh, then that's when we're going to fall into these... The little list that we talked about previously, we'll be doing those things. But if we're acting like Jesus and we have that love of God in us, that agape love, then we're more like him. Then we have the fruit of the Spirit. So fruit of the Spirit, it says here, I don't have a great memory. A lot of the kids, they memorize this whole verse, but it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there's no law. Again, if you have all these, there's no law, because the law can't touch this, you know. So we're going to go through this list. Love, the agape love, it's that divine love. Joy, it's that inner peace and sufficiency that is not affected by outward circumstance. Joy that abides and remains even when circumstances seem troubling. You know, we see Paul here, as he writes to the Philippians, where he's in jail. You know, me, if I was in jail, I'd be sulking, I'd be crying. You know, I wouldn't be thinking about other people. But Paul, as he's in jail, what does he do? He rejoices, right? He sings. You know, he worships. You know, that's joy. That's joy. I try to have this heart. I try to have this spirit of joy. As my long day of work, when I think about my family or coming home to my... to my family, I have this joy, you know, getting home almost at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night, hard day work, and all I can think about is my family. So I try to have that joy. Peace. It's peace of God which passes all understanding. When you're going through tribulation, when you're going through struggle, when things are going bad, and you have this peace in your heart, you know, it's like when bills are piling up, when people are knocking on your door trying to get payment for things, or you get these 800 numbers calling you, you have this peace in your heart. You're like, Lord, I can't pay my bills right now, but you know what? I have you, you know. I don't know how we're going to pay this. I don't know how we're going to do this, but you know what? I have peace. I have peace that somehow, some way, you're going to help me through it. Long-suffering. Courageous endurance without quitting. I had a couple of explanations of this, but I like this one best because of what I'm going to tell you now, that I don't get in trouble. Long-suffering. If you don't know my family, it's myself, it's Sundra, and we have three girls. A few years back, you know that saying, that guys don't know that men don't know how girls act, or how girls don't know how guys act. That's true because, I'm a guy. Okay. A few years back, I had teenagers. I thought things were good. And we would come home and next thing you know, someone won't be talking to me, throw an attitude. And I had to kind of step back sometimes and talk to Sandra. It's like, should I get mad? Should I talk to them? Should I get them in trouble? What should I do? I don't know how it is being a girl. Okay. Cause she would tell me, well, there's this thing that happens. And I'm like, okay. Thing. She goes, question mark, question mark, exclamation point, period. Okay. That's why. Because I was always wondering, all month long, one of the girls would be throwing me attitude. So I had to learn. I still don't know. I had to learn. I know what time. That's why they're not talking to me. That's why they're throwing attitude. That I had to step back. I had to be courageous, enduring, and not quitting. Because I wanted to, you know, why are you throwing attitude with me? So I had to kind of like step back, you know, okay, cool. And not only that, not only do we have girls, that's my life. My life is all girls. When you have girls, and when they're older, then there's these guys. And then you have to be courageous, enduring, without quitting, and not wanting to, yes. What was that one? Murder, right? The boys. So I had to be courageous in enduring that. And then also now, we have girls, they're almost out of the house. now we have a little baby with us. A few months ago, she was 6 weeks old. And when she cried, she cried. And I would have to like, Lord, this is getting kind of hard. You know, I would ask Sandra, is this gonna stop? Is it gonna end? You know, long suffering, courageous, endurance without quitting. We didn't quit. She's still with us. She doesn't cry as much anymore. Actually, that bad used to be horrible, right? Right, used to be really bad. Then we have kindness. Kindness and goodness, you guys, it could be lumped up. It could be like the same. When you're kind, you have to be good. And when you're good, you have to be kind. Okay, but the thing that's different about this and goodness, it also includes being generous. Okay, that's the mindset here of being generous. And then we have faithfulness. This is someone who's dependable, someone who's reliable. And then we have gentleness. It can be considered meekness. This is the right to use power and authority, power under control. The meek Christian does not throw his weight around or assert himself. The best example of this is in the Old Testament with Moses, when the golden calf, when he came down from the mountain and they were all worshiping the golden calf, and he came down, he pretty much was meek and threw judgment upon them. Then we have Jesus, who's also the best example, I think, of being meek. An example that we do have is the money changers in the temple where he ran them out. That's being meek, being gentle. Then self-control, that's temperate, okay? And then against such of these there is no law. And those who are in Christ, it says here in verse 24, crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. So here, it says here, for those who have crucified the flesh. I love that. I love that because I get a picture of not only just Jesus on that cross, but my favorite verse, Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I was crucified with Christ. Right when I said yes to the Lord, when I gave my life to Christ, I was crucified with him. So now the life that I do live, I live in him and with him because I have been crucified. And that's the only way. On Friday, if you weren't here for, was it Wednesday? Today's Friday, right? Wednesday, there was a little marriage counseling that Mama Paula and Pastor Ron did, which was awesome. And the whole thing is if we die to our flesh, if we crucify ourselves, that's how we're going to be able to love, especially our spouse. We would love our spouse if we die to ourselves, if we are crucified with God, with Jesus. So if you missed that, I think we have it on, what do you call that? Street live stream. There you go. CalvarySA.com. I'm just kidding. Little plug there. So if we crucify our flesh and it takes away all of that, all our passions and desires, it takes that all away because we'll be more like him. That's how you know that if you're in the Spirit, okay? If I'm going to be in the Spirit, it's because if I look like Jesus, okay? If I'm producing things of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, okay? You guys, we would know also those who are around us who are not following the Spirit, okay, who are not Christians. I know that us as Christians or people always throw this around, oh, don't judge me, you know? Well, you know what, you guys? We're like the fruit of the loom people. We could be fruit inspectors, okay? Yeah, not underwear. Sorry, that's back in the days, right? I don't know if they still say that, but we can look at people's fruit, okay? That if they're like this, if they're because a lot of people could be counterfeit. You know, we can act like Christians. We can have some of these fruits, Okay? The thing that's different about being a Christian is if it produces, if it grows, if you can actually see in their life consistently, if they're walking, if they're being this Christian all day long, all week long, you know, no matter what adversities are coming, whatever tribulation is coming, weeks and months and years, then you know you're a Christian. Verse 25, it says, if I live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And here, this walk right here is a little bit different from what we talked about earlier. Remember that first walk that we talked about in the Greek was more of a walking up and down. It's like a teacher teaching, a philosopher, or a professor walking up as he teaches. This walk right here, you guys, it speaks about to learn how to walk, okay? It's taking that step, you know, like babies as they crawl. As they stand up, they're a little wobbly, and then they take steps. Then that's what we're talking about. If we walk in the Spirit, it's more like a trial and error, you guys. Because being a Christian, we're not perfect. Okay, we're not perfect. Once we're saved, we accepted Jesus in my heart. I walked up to the altar. Now I'm saved. Now I'm perfect. No, you guys. We have to learn. We have to live in the Spirit. We have to do this trial and error being a Christian. You know, I've made many mistakes, even as a Christian. Where sometimes it kind of falls back on you. You know, they don't look at you as being a Christian anymore because the trial and error. I tried being a Christian. I tried living my life in the Lord, but then, you know, you still struggle with certain things, with anger or wrath or just whatever you're going to struggle with. Well, if you walk in the Spirit, if you feed the Spirit, if you starve the flesh and you do this type of walk where you learn, you know, that's where we can grow. I know for a fact that when I left San Diego to come here, I think I got saved here. You know what I mean? I was more of a Christian here, I guess you can say. I learned how to be more of a man of God here. Because the more that I was walking with Him, the more that I was tested, the more things that I went through, it helped me grow in Him, where I could depend on Him, where I could trust Him. And I think it all started here, being under Pastor Ron and his teaching. That's how we grow. Okay, I don't know how much more I can, or how people can encourage people to come to church. Again, it's not an attendance thing. It's a wanting to hear from God and wanting to grow, wanting to learn more. That's mindset of walking in the Spirit. It says here in verse 26, let us not be conceited, envying one another. Again, we're flesh. We could say we're growing in the Spirit, that I'm more spiritual, and then we can kind of be conceited now. You know, it's like, oh yeah, you look at me, I'm all spiritual. You know, look at so-and-so, I've been here a little longer than them, and look at what they're at now. And, you know, I it's all about me. And then you start provoking, you start like, well, have you done this before? Well, you know that if you're spiritual, if you're more of a godly person, this is what you would do. And then also, if you start envying people, oh man, so-and-so is so spiritual, I want to be just like them. You know, that's where it could, that's where it can go downhill. You guys, our eyes need to be on Jesus, not about what other people are doing. You're seeing what other people have or whatever. If we keep our eyes on Christ, that's it. If we just keep our eyes on Jesus and exercise, not exercise, but if we have the fruits of the Spirit, we'll be more like Him. If we keep our eyes on Jesus. So I want to encourage you guys, if Jesus hasn't been the first in your life, if He hasn't been the focus, if you've been putting things before Him, well, tonight as we're going to wrap up soon, but there's going to be some men and women that are up here You can confess. You could ask for prayer to get right with God, to be filled with the Spirit, to live your life for Him, and to leave here. That's what I love about this church, because we grow. And when we leave here, we leave here knowing Jesus more. We leave here loving Him more. You know, how much do you love Jesus? He gave His life for us. You know, that's why when people give their life to the Lord and they kind of toss Him aside and they continue to sin. When I talk to people like that, I say, like, do you know what Jesus gave up? Jesus gave up His life for you, and you just toss Him aside. He gave His life for us, and that's why I love Him so much, because He died on that cross for me. Not only that, now my road isn't hell anymore. Now it's heaven with Him, everlasting, with streets of gold and stuff like that, not tar here on earth. But that's pretty much it. We're gonna have the men and women from the pastor's class, gonna have them up here, and they'll be up here for you guys to come and to ask for prayer. So if you want to receive God, if you want to receive the Lord, or if you want any type of prayer, prayer for healing, anything like that, you can come up here, and they'll be here available for you, to you, and to keep things private. They'll be keeping you in prayer. So let's pray.